Hour number two of midday with Trey and BK. Brady Quinn should be joining us in just a couple of minutes. Of course, Bruce Feldman gave his 6 degrees of conversation, included Brady Quinn, who he was, giving a plug for since he was making the radio rounds out in Frisco. And then Joe Davis as well. I didn't realize Joe Davis was under 30 years old when he took over for Vin Scully. That is a crazy thing to think about.
How about that? And I've been listening to a lot of Dodgers games, or watching a lot of Dodgers games, I should say. I've got the MLB.TV package, and you know the Dodgers are really good. It's a fun team to watch play, so I've been catching a lot of Joe D this year.
Do you have the WNBA.TV package?
You know, I do not, and I wasn't sure that was a thing, Trey. I figured it'd have to be, you know, whatever. Someone was going to go out there and create that, and I did. I was watching some NBA Summer League, which I watched a lot of NBA Summer League, more than I ever had before, kind of because I know what the NBA regular season results is going to be. Like, I know who's going to win the championship next year. I wasn't too sure who was going to make things happen in the summer league. And I'm a huge college basketball nut, so it was cool to watch these guys go up against, you know, a little bit better competition, some guys who've actually played in the NBA before. It was competitive basketball. These guys were giving it their all. So while I was watching one of these games, they, you know, Mark Jones, who was on the call for the Four Letter Network, was like, make sure you check out WNBA League Pass. You can get every game out of market whenever you want it for like $15.99 for the rest of the season. Something like that. When the NBA one is like $130.
I was about to say, at least they're not trying to gouge you for it.
It is the mid-season package, so I'm not entirely sure how much it cost at the beginning. I think it's mid-season. I don't know how many games they play, but I would guess we're at some point halfway through the season or so. So
the games go through the end of August. I checked the San Antonio schedule a couple days ago.
Yeah, because you got to figure out when I'm going down there.
When we are going down there, my friend.
Why are you going?
You
I can't figure that out.
So hard to avoid having to hang out in a car with me for 2 hours.
I'm not driving with you. I'm driving with a buddy for sure. I'm not sitting with you for that long.
All right, that's fine. I'm still meeting you guys at the game. Maybe we can grab some food beforehand, or at least some beverages to help ease the pain that will be watching an entire WNBA game. But you also have to be painted up and ready to go for this bad boy, too.
Yeah, no, I'll be ready. I'm going to get my trash talk ready. I'm going to do a little research on the rosters and the refs, even the officials.
You're going to do the Duke level research.
There it is.
To make
like,
it happen.
Yeah,
okay.
Duke. Oh, nobody's safe out there. Once we get down to the AT&T Center, there's a few thousand people roaring from the crowd. Ain't nobody safe. Even the other fans aren't safe. So if you're going to be at this game, you best be ready. Don't mess up. I'm going to call you out.
And the San Antonio Silver Stars with a Z are playing right now on NBA TV. They're playing at Atlanta, and they're doing what they have done a lot of this year. They're losing.
Yeah, they are losing. They're the worst team in the WNBA, which is going to make this bet pay off that much more exciting.
Do you think that you can get a tee from the stands? You think they make tee-ed up from the stands?
God, that'd be amazing. I don't know. I mean, they'll kick me out before they give me a tech, but that would be hilarious. What if I, like, run on the floor or something while one of the other team is, I just go full, was it Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia when he's reffing that, like, youth league game? He just starts swatting the balls away from the kids and giving everybody techs. I might do that. And by the way, Trey, something that we've got to get used to seeing, not watching WNBA, but just you know, the WNBA has had this for a few years that the NBA is about to adopt.
Yeah.
Advertisements on the jersey. God, that sucks that the NBA has adopted that. Like, I feel bad that the WNBA has it too. I think it's a terrible look. I think everybody thinks it's a terrible look. It is soccer-esque, which I hate anything soccer-esque. But, man, that is a problem, Trey.
It's more understandable in the WNBA than it is the NBA for me.
Yeah.
And for a league, speaking about the NBA now, that is already dealing with image and credibility issues, adding advertising to the jerseys does nothing to help that out.
Yeah.
See, the problem from a soccer fan's perspective, the reason soccer does it is because there's no time during the games for there to be commercials.
You're right.
You know that this is just a cash grab because there's plenty of advertisements in these games.
Yeah, apparently they're paying a lot. You look at some of the, what is it, transfer is what they call it, the amount of money. I mean, of course, in soccer, you got to pay a contract just like every other sport, but you got to pay so much money to make a trade. It's like you got to pay to turn off fair trades in a video game or something like that. It is ridiculous. Some of these transfer rates, I think, is what they're called. And that's the most soccer we're ever going to talk on this show.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
What just happened?
I keep up with soccer, man. I don't like it, but I know about things.
This guy's tricky. He baits us into going deeper into soccer conversations than we care to. But, yeah, so we'll keep an eye out on the San Antonio Silver Stars.
Can I change this, please? They're playing the Atlanta Dream, by the way.
That's almost a double-digit deficit. Hey, good news, though. It's quarters basketball versus halves basketball, so hopefully that'll help speed things up just a little bit
more. No doubt. All right, Trey, I want to ask you this because we didn't have too much time. We got to give our thoughts on the quarterback position and the growth of Shane Buechele, mm-hmm. both as a quarterback and as a leader for Texas football heading into his sophomore year. Talked about the lack of depth at the quarterback position, which I'm pretty sure every Longhorn fan and their mother knows. Right now it's Shane Buechele, Sam Ellinger, and Jerod Hurd, I guess Tom Herman said, would be the number three guy, and I think that's what most Texas fans were expecting. But the other two audio cuts from Tom Herman right there, talking about, and this is kind of coach speak, but I think Tom Herman does a much better job of emphasizing this than a lot of other coaches do, how much you need to hate to lose as a player. The old coaching adage is you got to hate to lose more than you love to win. And Tom Herman was talking about how this coaching staff just drills in practice where the winners get better food, losers have to do this and that, and winners get all these privileges and losers get punished and stuff. You know, what do you make of Tom Herman's comments? Do you think that's just some coach speak, or do you think there's actually a lot to what he's saying and what he's preaching in practice?
You know what? That's one of the things I appreciate and enjoy the most about Tom Herman, that he turns everything into a competition, because I do believe that there is something to that. And I've seen a number of people on Twitter after he gave that answer talking about how that sounded so much like the way Urban Meyer discusses things. So maybe that's something that he did inherit in a way from Urban Meyer. I love it, though. You do give guys trips to the lake or trips out to Dell Diamond to allow them to play kickball and mess around on a minor league baseball field while the losers are having to eat. What was the brand of hot? No, don't say the brand of the hot dog. We can't get in trouble with any more sponsors.
Nope.
But an off-brand of hot dogs and
like
stale
hot dog
buns
contest
if they lose.
When you put them on styrofoam in the microwave and you get all those whatever kind of rays we get.
Yeah, you do want people who hate losing, because in those situations when you're at, when the games do matter on Saturdays, when things do really matter, when it's not just training or working out or anything like that, at some point that mindset does kick in. Even for the guys who haven't necessarily won as much as others have. I forget what the ranking, what the caste system is in the Tom Herman program, if it's like the gold level, silver level, bronze level, something like that. Anyhow,
the urine chart.
It's not the urine chart. It's something similar to that, though. They literally have a name for guys that meet a certain standard versus the guys who are at the very bottom who get last picks from the buffet and who having to eat stale hot dog buns with rotten hot dogs. But I like that. I think that's something that will benefit this team come Saturdays in the fall.
I agree 100%. I love it. And I think it's a kind of a culture, right? I don't know how much in a college football locker room.
Culture's
I never
a good
played
way to
college
play
football. But you look around, I mean, everybody complains. It's if my kid's not getting a trophy, what's the deal? It's just this millennial culture that everybody's got to receive a participation trophy. Everybody deserves equality regardless of how they perform on the field. And a lot of these kids grew up in that era. So Tom Herman is preaching, no, you actually, you get something if you win. If you lose, we're not going to reward you for bad performance, for subpar performance. And if you do that in practice, right, there's another old coaching adage. You practice the way you play. If you instill those values, I know Charlie Strong and every other coach that's ever coached college football, of course they want to win. They don't want to lose. But it almost felt like this team the last few years, they just wanted to be friends with their coach and make their coach happy more than actually getting wins on the field. And you didn't see, Trey, that hate-to-lose mantra with Texas football. That is something that, look, you know the players don't want to lose. These guys are all as competitive as you can possibly be. But you wanted to see that fire in the fourth quarter when your backs were against the wall. You had to make something happen, right? The overtime against Kansas when, all right, we screwed up big time. We're in overtime against Kansas. Let's find a way to get out of this with a win and save our coach's job. You didn't see that enough from this Texas football program. And once again, that goes a lot on the players. But you hope that type of stuff that's instilled in practice can, in fact, translate to wins on Saturday.
Maybe it's the type of care, because you saw, or you didn't see, you saw a couple guys on the field, but reports had plenty of guys just in tears.
Crying.
Unable to be consoled in the locker room after the fact. So I think they did care, but it's the type of care and the type of effort that you're putting up in those big game situations, too. All right, joining us now from Frisco at Big 12 Media Days on the Bob's Steak and Chop House Hotline, he is an analyst for Fox Sports College Football in the fall. He is Brady Quinn joining us right now. Brady, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'll start with you the way that we started with Bruce Feldman a couple minutes ago. Tom Herman spoke this morning, of course, a couple hours ago now. What were your impressions from hearing Coach Herman up at the podium?
The first thing I think that came to mind was just, you know, really what he's trying to do with the culture now at Texas. I mean, he's trying to teach a lot of the players the history of Texas, how successful the university's been, and really where they need to get back to. I think that's the first thing he kind of discussed in talking to some of the players, asking how many have been a part of a winning season. And I think you recalled three guys raised their hands. So you can tell he wants to bring the success that he's had with Ohio State when they won the national championship, then leaving the Houston and being able to continue to help them continue to improve and climb. So I think he's looking at trying to bring that same success to Texas. And sometimes in order to change that culture, you got to remind them of the history that this university has been there before. There's been plenty of alums that have had success and, you know, obviously won a national championship. So I think that was what he was trying to remind a lot of these players of, is the history that they've had and just where they can get to.
Brady, you mentioned it a little bit, the three straight losing seasons for the University of Texas, and of course, out goes Charlie Strong, in comes Tom Herman. The preseason Big 12 media poll was released last week. Texas picked to finish fourth by members of the media. Of course, this is a 5-7 team that finished well below that last year, but a new head coach, Tom Herman, who did some pretty good things in his 2 years at Houston. Do you think that number four spot behind the likes of OU, OSU, and K-State, do you think that's fair for Tom Herman and company for 2017?
Well, it's fair in the aspect of it's tough for any first-time head coach taking on, you know, a big-time university like Texas to go in there and expect success right away. Now, he's been able to do that, so maybe there's some expectation about that. And plus, this is a talented team. I mean, they still have some, you know, blue-chip recruits, if you will, whether it's Jefferson or Wheeler on defense. And looking at the production that I think Shane Bouchel was able to put up as a freshman, you know, what makes you think that he can't do that? They've got a litany of wide receivers and guys to throw to. I mean, this Colin Johnson kid kind of reminds me of Calvin Johnson from my time kind of playing against him at Georgia Tech as far as his skill set and size. And Armani Foreman's a guy I think you can rely on heavily, and Chris Warren will be back at the running back position. I mean, I remember talking to Charlie Strong last year just about the duo that would have been of Deontay Foreman and Chris Warren, and they were kind of saying, you know, we really thought Warren was going to be the player to have the type of season that Foreman ended up having, just based on everything we saw coming into training camp and all that. So, you know, you look at this team, they've got a ton of pieces. I think they definitely have the ability to finish better than that if Tom Herman can work his magic and do what he did at Houston.
Brady Quinn joining us right now. He is an analyst for college football as well as a former college star at Notre Dame and played in the NFL for a number of years as well. And Brady, shifting now to the overall Big 12 picture, who do you think the favorite or favorites are right now in the conference? And is there a team that you consider to be a dark horse that could be contending come the end of the season?
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in this conference. I'll start out by saying that. I think as far as the favorite right now, you know, people are going to give Oklahoma the edge because of their past success. I think you look at the continuity that they're able to keep by, you know, hiring Lincoln Riley when Bob Stoops stepped down, which everyone kind of thought was going to happen. But or maybe they were fearful of him leaving, so that's why they wanted it to happen. But either way, however it came about, it helps with keeping continuity, which is a big reason for success. I mean, Baker Mayfield, you can probably make the case he's the best quarterback in the conference, even though I really like Mason Rudolph. I think he can sling it. I think he could be something special, too, at the next level. So you give the edge to Oklahoma because of, you know, Mayfield coming back and the success that they've had. But there's a lot of teams that are right there in the mix, Oklahoma State being one. I really feel like Texas can be one. A couple dark horses that I think are definitely can compete. You know, West Virginia's one. I just don't think you can ever count out a Dana Holgorsen coach team. What he does with transfers every year and how he's able to get production out of them. They got some studs on defense back. Hopefully they get back David Long. I know he's going to be out like the first 4 weeks or something like that. But that kid's got an incredibly bright future too. And Will Grier, quarterback. I mean, that's, you know, how he ends up playing in that system, which I think we've seen. They've been able to put up a lot of stats, a lot of numbers. They're going to be tough to stop. Kansas State's got a ton of people coming back, and they've got a solid O-line and a solid defense. So you look at the conference as a whole, I think there's a lot of parity. So, you know, I think K-State, West Virginia, those are kind of those two dark horse teams besides, you know, your typical Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State kind of sitting there at the top that I think, you know, have the talent to win it, but Oklahoma right now, I think you have to give the edge.
Brady, I know you're at Big 12 Media Days, but I want to ask you about a team that Texas is playing this year in non-conference. That's the USC Trojans, who are probably going to enter as a top-five team in the country. You're a former quarterback. You do a great job on FS1 and Fox Sports breaking down the quarterback position. Just how good is this Sam Darnold kid as a sophomore, and what can Texas fans expect from him and USC in Week 3 this year?
He's tough. I mean, look, he's got the physical size, the skill set of your prototypical pocket passer, but he's much more athletic than people realize. You know, the types of throws he can make, being a right-handed quarterback, moving to his left, throwing against his body, just the feel for the pocket when he steps up, when he scrambles. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, from doing their games and watching him, he just gets it. He's got a feel for the pocket. He's got a feel for the game, you know, the types of throws, you know, to make. And, you know, that's something that you just can't teach. You know, you really can't. So he's going to be tough to defend against. I think the one thing that Texas has going for them, going up against them, is you look at their wide receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster is gone. They're kind of looking for someone to step up who's going to take over that spot. Now, they're going to have somewhat of a running game, and they lost some pieces on the line, but you know, for the most part, you know, that team's going to be tough to stop because of Darnold, but they still got to figure out some things on the offensive side of the ball for them. Their defense should be good, though. You know, but besides, you know, really looking at a couple pieces that they lost going on to the NFL, outside of that, I mean, they've got a lot of returning guys on that side of the ball for USC. So they'll be tough defensive. I think offense, though, they've got to answer some questions.
Fox Sports college football analyst Brady Quinn joining us right now to talk Longhorn football, Big 12 football, and some national stuff as well. And I wanted to ask you, Brady, about your alma mater, Notre Dame. Experienced a little bit of disappointment last year. Quite frankly, started here in Austin Labor Day weekend losing to the Longhorns and just continued throughout the season. What do you think it will take for Brian Kelly to turn things back around here in 2017?
It's going to take the team really buying into what Chip Long, new offensive coordinator, is selling. You know, you look at, for starters, the fact that you're transitioning to a new quarterback and a new offensive system. So that's going to be tough as it is. I mean, defense as well. You know, they're changing over, you know, that. And you've got some guys who moved on up front who are viewed as leaders on the defensive front. And they're going to have to figure that out. I mean, that's the hardest part right now, is being able to buy into the system, being able to kind of expedite that learning curve that you have, all while having to play Georgia in week two of your schedule. So it doesn't get easy early for them. And I think on top of it, you know, a lot of these guys are trying to figure out, you know, what type of players are they on the big stage, because they don't have a ton of experience. I mean, the strength of this group is the offensive line. They've got three studs. I mean, McGlinchey, Quentin Nelson. You know, there's a number of guys up front that I think are going to have bright futures in the NFL, but they've got to have some guys step up at the skill position.
Brady Quinn joining us from Big 12 Media Days up in Frisco, and it's July 18th, Brady, but, you know, you break down college football all year long. I've got to ask you, where you stand right now, a Final Four, if you will, for college football, some of the teams that are really sticking out and you think can make things happen and will be in the conversation once we get to next January.
Oh, so tough to predict this far out. I think you look at teams that just overall have the talent and have, you know, a decent amount of players returning and that are going to give them a chance. So, you know, Florida State's one of the first that comes to mind out of the ACC, and it's going to be a down year for the ACC. You know, I think if something were to happen to Florida State and they stumble, that could be a conference that I think we could potentially see not getting a team in to the college football playoff. They would be the team that I would think would be the favorite. Louisville might have an outside shot, because they've got a dynamic player in Lamar Jackson. But, you know, that's a team that I think, you know, I just can't trust for whatever reason, and feeling like they're going to be able to get through the ACC without any blemishes. But you look at the Big Ten, I think Ohio State's clearly the favorite there. And I think they're a team that I look to see in the college football playoff next year. I know a lot of people are high on Penn State. I just haven't necessarily, you know, bought in on that team being able to replicate what they did last year. It seemed like it was, you know, a lot of big plays, a lot of crazy comebacks. You know, we'll see if they can replicate that or if they can grow and mature the way they need to this year. But I think Ohio State's the favorite there. Pac-12 to me is open. I know everyone's looking at Sam Darnold and thinking USC is going to be the favorite. But, you know, like I said, they've got a lot of people to replace on offense they're going to have to kind of figure out. So because of that, I kind of look at it and say, all right, Washington's the team out of the Pac-12 North that people look at Jake Browning, but they lost a lot of pieces, in particular in their secondary. Lost three of their four starters. They got some young guys coming up, but, you know, you lose a guy like John Ross, a wide receiver. He was a dynamic player. So it's just a lot of question marks. I think if I had to pick, I would probably say give the edge to Alabama out of the SEC, Ohio State out of the Big Ten, Florida State out of the ACC, and I don't know. Probably Oklahoma getting in there at that fourth spot. I really feel like the Big 12 championship game this year will help propel the Big 12 championship into the college football playoff.
Fox Sports college football analyst Brady Quinn joins us now on Midday with Trey and BK. And Brady, we saw this last weekend, the latest example of a guy trying to make a change or help influence a change in the way that the NCAA and major universities go about their business, and that business is making money, of course, on college athletics. Chris Spielman is suing the Ohio State University, which is his alma mater, for using his likeness without his permission and without compensating him. The Ed O'Bannon case, rather, is probably the most famous example that has happened so far in the last 10 years or so. But in your mind, as somebody who is one of the more recognizable faces from Notre Dame in its storied football tradition, what change do you think needs to be made, if any, by the NCAA and major universities to make sure they're taking care of the athletes that they're profiting on?
I think they are to a pretty high degree at this point. I mean, I've been out for about, you know, going on almost 10, 11 years now, and, you know, 11 years from the last season playing, and you look at the changes in meals and how they're able to, you know, be able to feed the guys unlimited meals. I mean, I remember, you know, because I lived off campus, I didn't have the ability to eat on campus, and we got a stipend of, I think it was like $800 a month. My rent was $500. So, you know, try to eat on $300 while paying for gas money and utilities and everything else for, you know, the rest of the year being a full-time college student playing football. And so we'd have a victory dinner, but we had to pay for it based on NCAA rules. It was like a $35 dinner. So unfortunately, we couldn't partake after we'd win in these victory dinners because we lived off campus. So they've changed a lot of things, I think, since then to make it better. My concern is, you know, I think you look at the precedent that Chris is trying to set. And I think he probably has to, from a legal standpoint, in order to make this the case moving forward. It just stinks you see any sort of lawsuit with an alma mater for a former player. But I feel like that's the direction that ultimately he has to go in order to be able to stop this so it doesn't happen across the country. But you wish they could just have talked about it before it got to this point where it becomes public and becomes a legal battle and all of that. I just think the irony to all of it is whatever money they make off of it, obviously if he ends up getting some sort of compensation from it, he's just going to donate it right back to the athletic department.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a wash when it's all said and done anyway. So literally all it's there for is essentially to set the precedent that universities can't do this moving forward.
I think that's an important point made in all this, Brady, that he's not trying to make anything off of his university, but he's trying to raise awareness and fight for guys who maybe don't necessarily have the platform to try and encourage this sort of reform. Brady Quinn, thank you so much for joining us. I encourage people to go to 3ng.com. It's a veteran home aid organization that makes homes for handicap accessible for wounded veterans. That is the website you can go to. Brady Quinn is a big part of that, and he has joined us right now on Midday with Trey and BK. Brady, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Brady.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Really appreciate you plugging the foundation, too.
No doubt. Always happy to do so. And they are on Twitter at @third_goal as well.
Nice job. Yeah, great stuff by Brady Quinn. Seems like a cool dude, man. He's only 32 years old. Like, it seems like his career was so far back, right? So long ago when he was a part of the Bush push game, the Notre Dame-USC rivalries, and really Notre Dame was solid. He was a first-round pick of the Browns, which is kind of where quarterbacks go to die.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Brady Quinn, you could tell he's still a young dude. He's got some life in him, and I liked his answer a lot with your Chris Spielman question. Made some strong points there.
Look, Brady Quinn, he's along the Chris Spielman line for a program that may be the most famous program in the history of college football. That is Notre Dame. And so you know that his likeness is... You don't know that. I am assuming that his likeness has been taken to those degrees at times. So, of course, he's going to have positive thoughts on those things as well, because you know that he has plenty of teammates that don't possess the ability to speak up for themselves in such platforms.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. But before we do, we're going to give away another copy of the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine for 2017 with the University of Texas head coach Tom Herman on the cover. Hey, you heard from Tom Herman at Big 12 Media Days. Read this article about him. It's called Mastermind, the cover story for Dave Campbell's in 2017. 447-3776, call number one. Once again, first person to pick up the phone and dial will win a free copy of this magazine. We're going to come back. When we do, it'll be Shooting the Bull time. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn. Wow, please tell me you had... intern Austin's mic on there. Oh, man.
He just dodged
a bullet there. Wow, we might have a worse singer than either of us here at the station.
Oh, man, hold on.
Oh, man. That was Trey right there. Austin, he got a little camera shy once the mic turned on. That's
what
all right.
Song.
That's all right. Yeah, this is a good song. You killed it, though. This is anybody could sing along to this song at any time, huh?
You're right about that. We talked about it yesterday, too, didn't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I was just talking about this with people, and sure enough, it was on the show. So, sorry, this is not a replayed episode for Monday, everybody out there.
Much as you understand, because you produce the morning show before doing this show, I do this show, then produce the afternoon show, there are times where topics blend together, and I'm just not totally sure.
Yeah, that's just part of the game. We work long days, but hey, I'm not complaining. We got the easiest job in the world. We talk sports. And we push buttons.
Well worth it for sure. All right, let's hit Tinder Time. Tinder Time has a sponsor now.
Yes, sir. Tinder Time brought to you by Altstadt Beer. You can find it at most local chains, your HEBs, your Whole Foods, Twin Liquor Specs, Total Wine, and more. And also at your favorite local watering hole. German beer brewed in Fredericksburg, right here in the Hill Country. Altstadt Beer, no impurities, no regrets.
And Tinder Time is the radio version of the popular dating app. Normally it happens an hour earlier before now. It's 11:30, but it's 12:30. We had to move some things around for Bruce Feldman and Brady Quinn. And the radio version of the popular dating app is our producer Zach reads off headlines. We swipe right if we want to talk more about that, find out more about the stories in some cases, or swipe left if we want nothing to do with that story. And what is up first today, Zach?
All right, guys, up first, Lonzo Ball is Summer League MVP, so he's going to be a star, right? Right?
I mean, I'm swiping right. I've been saying for months I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a star at the next level. I am really high on this kid, and I know it's Summer League. This is not me basing my opinion solely off the Summer League, but I will swipe right on whatever the headline is because I like talking about this kid and his dad. LeVar, baby!
I know. You
stay
know,
he's going Rookie of the Year, MVP, NBA Finals, all in his first year.
You're an old soul in a lot of ways, and for that I respect it because it means you're not so millennial. Yeah, millennial. I've been to Millennium Park in the last week, and I'm getting confused about things now. But your love of the Ball family is a little bit millennial of you. However, I'm going to swipe right as well.
It's basically there. I'm not sure I can, you know, agree with you guys on this one. I don't know if you can believe the hype just yet. You got to prove yourself in the professional league, right?
Oh, of course.
You're right about that.
This is Summer League. Like Kyle Kuzma, who is his LA Lakers teammate. By the way, the Lakers won the Summer League last night over Portland, beat the Mavs in the semifinals. Kyle Kuzma averaged like 30-10 in the Summer League.
What?
Clearly, he's not going to do that once the NBA starts. Clearly, Lonzo Ball is not going to be putting up those 35-8 games every single night.
Right.
But I would expect double doubles and triple doubles from Lonzo Ball. I mean, you got to think, a lot of the assists that he could have had with guys who could finish, now the Lakers don't have too many solid NBA players by any stretch, but he lost some assists from guys missing bunny shots and easy open jumpers that guys don't miss in the actual NBA. Problem for Lonzo Ball is his defense. And I actually heard an interview with Magic Johnson during last night's Summer League final, and they asked Magic, it was Jeff Van Gundy, who's like, what was your biggest problem? Because it seems like the NBA was so easy for you in your first year out of Michigan State. And he said, defense. And he's like, Lonzo kind of has the same problem. You just don't realize how much faster dudes are on the other side of the ball. You got to get there and become a better defender, which Lonzo has a lot of improvement to do. I will eat my crow if I'm wrong on Lonzo Ball. I think he's going to be a magnificent player at the next level.
He also needs to get that elbow in. He leads with that elbow a lot of times whenever he's dribbling the basketball, trying to create space. They will call that foul in the NBA.
Interesting.
All right, what's up next, Zach?
All right, guys, up next. You guys know what Ashley Madison is?
Yes, we do.
Ashley Madison.
I do. Do you?
It was a website. Hey. No,
okay,
okay,
okay. What is this? What is this?
From a couple years ago. Ashley Madison.
Billy Madison?
It's not totally anonymous, but it's a somewhat anonymous dating website that allows, in the case that it made the headlines a couple years ago, it allowed married guys to hook up with random men or women around where they lived or around the country. Right? Is that
You're on the right track there. So basically they allow people to cheat on their significant others by, you know, opening up some doors where you can meet some married people and have a relationship. Their tagline is "Life is short, why not cheat?"
Wow.
So they were in
That's terrible, man.
That is terrible.
Like, as a guy who never plans on getting married, I respect the institution of marriage. Like, you can't be cheating on your wives and stuff unless it's with I'm kidding. Okay. So, I take it back. But really, like, come on, man. Don't be can't be promoting this kind of stuff, right?
No. So, and the reason they got in trouble a few years ago, Trey's right, they had a data breach back in 2015, and a lot of their users' personal information was posted online.
Good.
So what happened? Is there, a new development?
New development in the story is that Ashley Madison's parent company will pay an $11 million settlement to the victims. You know, I kind of cringe when we call them victims of the data breach.
Hey, they're victims, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sure. Basically, each person that had their data released could get up to $3,500. And I know that there's someone that works around here who, when the story broke a couple years ago, checked his email, and it was indeed part of the breach.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Somebody worked here?
Somebody who worked here.
Around here.
Have you really not heard the name yet?
Was it her man? I don't even want to
I don't want to say anything on the air. Come on, we can...
It's a single guy. I'll just tell you
He works here, though. He's not just somebody in the building.
No, it's not somebody at the law office down there. It's not John. It's not John at the law office.
Can I even say law office, John? He's such a good listener, man. I don't want to lose him. He's the man. I could definitely guess who it is. And my guess is he's not married, so I can feel confident in expecting who it is. But
you can also guess it'll be a part of the show later in the week.
There you go. No doubt about it. I'm looking at this website, by the way, and you can be single. On this site.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
And our man Andrew seems to have all the facts about Ashley Madison. It's a little bit scary, to be honest with you. He says there's a 6-to-1 male-to-female ratio on that website.
So it's like going to Duke.
Oh, well played. I feel like there's got to be a lot of more dudes cheating, right?
Yeah. Guys are bigger scumbags.
I don't want to be, you know, sexist or whatever, but I feel like guys are bigger scumbags than women when it comes to relationships. Now, of course, it happens both ways, no doubt about it.
Women are scumbags, too.
I've had my heart broken a couple times back when I had a feeling in the second grade.
Do tell.
No, I'm just kidding.
Ah.
How can you have a heart broken when you don't have a heart, Flea? You know how this works.
Yeah, one of our first shows, you told me that you swore off dating after you had your heart broken in high school. And so I asked you the situation of you having your heart broken. And I think it had to do with homecoming or prom. And you took a girl to homecoming or prom when you were like 15 or 16 years old. And then you ditched. Your story to me was you ditched her. Did you just tell me a big lie? Is that why you don't remember this now?
No, that was probably true. I ditched her so my heart was broken. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That was on me.
So you broke her heart.
Yeah, she'll get over it. It's been 10 years or something. Come on.
She probably has a couple pups now because she's trying to overcompensate.
She's got like 18 cats. Ashley Madison. I might check this out a little bit when we're off the air.
All right, what's up next today in Tinder Times?
All right, guys, this is our last story. So do you want to go ahead and go to Shooting the Bull? Do you want to swipe right on that?
Ooh. Swipe right.
Well played. Well played, Zachary. All right, Shooting the Bull, brought to you by our friends at AV Consultations and Tom McKay from AV Consultations. Go to avconsultations.com. All your audio, video needs. They'll take care of everything for you. They've got the products, they've got the service, they've got the installation. They've been doing it for almost 30 years. AV Consultations and Tom McKay, avconsultations.com.
Thank you very much, Tom, for everything that you do for this show, this radio station, the Austin Radio Network. We are brainstorming ways right now to get your products involved in this show, toys that we can perhaps play with as part of the daily broadcast from 11 to 1. So stay tuned for that. And Shooting the Bull is the daily ode to our former program that Brad and I started with on Wednesday nights, where we will talk about a variety of different things. Sometimes it's sports related, other times it is not. And starting out today, BK, the Alamo Draft House. They made headlines a month or two ago when they had an all-female screening of Wonder Woman that one dude was upset that he couldn't be a part of this deal.
Of course. Somebody's got to be upset,
right? Somebody's always got to be upset. Yeah. Well, I had a friend on Facebook over the weekend mention that he had gone to the Miller Draft House location, the new location over around where the old Miller Airport used to be. And he said that the restrooms, at least a couple of the restrooms at this Draft House location, it's like a normal size bathroom. So you have different stalls in the bathroom.
Sure.
But it's for whoever. They're not gender specific.
Wow.
So you can walk into the bathroom and see a woman with her kids coming out of the bathroom, and it's totally normal at this Draft House Miller location.
It's the perfect system. As someone who's been there, it's awesome. They basically have a long row of stalls, basically, that anyone can use.
The stalls go all the way down to the floor.
Yeah, so it's all the way down. It's like doors. So you like walk into your own like private bathroom almost, but there's like a line of like 20 of them. And at the end of the hallway, they have like a room that's just full of urinals. So if you want to use the urinal, you can still do that. It's just at the end of the hallway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
So what? If a guy is, you know, using the urinal, a woman can just walk by and use the same bathroom?
No. So like the urinal room is at the end of the hallway. It has its own door. You have to get into that. That's one separate deal. But then each of the stalls is individual. It's what it says on it. There's literally a sign that says urinal room. It's hilarious.
Right? Oh, that's interesting. I don't want to say anything to get any of us in trouble because I know this is a pretty hot take. I'm just I like being, I don't know.
You like being with dudes?
Yeah, see, I didn't want to say that. It's just what I grew up doing, right? You're in the bathroom with a bunch of other dudes. You know, like, no disrespect to the women. Now, I grew up in a house full of women, I've, you know, basically, obviously not at the same time, but shared bathrooms with women. And they both, men and women, both have different disgusting traits about them that I don't like combined, you know? Is that fair?
Our guy Earl, who worked with us at the previous radio station and at times was responsible for cleaning the men's and women's restrooms, swears that women are much more vile with their bathroom usage.
I've heard that from many, many people who've had to clean bathrooms. I used to work at a snow cone shop back in high school. I had to clean the bathrooms at the end of the night, and almost every single night, the women's bathroom was more disgusting than the men's bathroom.
Shout out to that Alamo location, though, because they also, it's the full Alamo experience, but they also have, like, leather recliners.
That one? Like, they remember the Alamo?
They do that in a lot of their locations now. I love the Draft House. It was one of those things that, living in Chicago, drink up, I really missed. And as soon as I introduced those the Draft House to my wife, she was like, oh my God, why doesn't this exist in Chicago? Draft House, it was the originator of that idea. They have plenty of companies that are trying to do something similar, but Draft House still does
Draft
it the
House
best.
Was first?
Draft House was first.
I grew up in the Metroplex. I had Studio Movie Grill, which I think is the same thing. I've never been to Alamo Draft House.
It's similar. They have something along those lines in Chicago as well, but it doesn't even come close to what the Draft House is able to pull
off. Very cool concept. All right, I cannot finish this segment without talking about Mike Gundy's mullet.
I'm glad you're doing this.
Oh, my goodness. Mike Gundy just wrapped up his, I think he's still going maybe a little bit, feeling a little bit, a couple more questions, I should say, from Big 12 Media
Days. That's weird. He's over Mason Rudolph's shoulder.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how much I get what's going on up there.
What
the hell? The mullet from Mike Gundy, and I'll retweet a picture at Brad Kellner. Trey's at Courtesy Wave. Zach is at Soccer Is Not a Sport, minus the knot there. But the mullet that Mike Gundy has been growing for a long time is just beautiful, man. It is perfection. Of course, you got the business in the front, party in the back. That's what they say. Mike Gundy's got a little bit of a party in the front. I mean, he's almost rocking like an afro in the front of his hair. That is how tall the front of the mullet has grown. It's a great look.
It really is, and he apparently cut a couple inches off. He said this in the press conference that I just saw on Twitter. Cut a couple inches a few days ago. He said the back had ponytail potential up to that point. Why did he cut the back?
Well, I don't want to. The dude ponytail look, and no offense to our man Andrew's rocking the ponytail back there. It's just not a look I can get behind. The man bun, the guy in the ponytail look, anything like that, I just don't like.
So you want Breckenhager to cut his hair then?
No, he can have that kind of hair. I don't mind if it flows. Like, your hair can flow. You can have long hair if it just goes a little bit. I don't want it to be, like, tied up. And
even if it's that long, you just never want it to be in ponytail.
Right. Yeah, okay. it's for ladies, man. The ponytail is for ladies.
Hey, you're going to tweet out the picture of Gundy's hair. Can we also get a quick video of how your sunburn is doing? There were a lot of people concerned with what was going on your stomach from yesterday's Twitter video. I'm at Courtesy Wave. I will tweet it out here in just a couple minutes. Brad is at Brad Kellner. Zach is Soccer Is a Sport, even though we all know it's not a sport. And the Horns website, the Horns Twitter feed, rather, is at 104.9 The Horn. Let's do that during this break. Let's video it, see if it's gotten any better. You tried some Taco Bell yesterday to see if that would help, because it helped out with the habanero pepper. You're shaking your head no that it didn't. But let's video that during this break.
All right, I guess. God, I'm going to get in trouble for showing people this. I could be like a mascot of Big 12 Media Days. I'm like half a different color and stuff. This is unbelievable. It hurts. It burns. I've been throwing all kinds of stuff on my body, and I did not eat Taco Bell, unfortunately, yesterday. I think I'm going to go and try to rub that meat all over my sunburn and see if that that does anything to cure the problem.
Did you do what I suggested and put the aloe vera in the refrigerator to cool it down even more?
No, I did put some more aloe on. I went to Randall's late last night and bought some apple cider vinegar and coconut oil.
Okay.
I think the coconut oil is, you know, a little moisturizing and more to reduce the smell of the apple cider vinegar.
You have to be careful with the coconut oil, though. You do have to combine it with something else, because otherwise it can cause you to break out.
All right. Well, does apple cider vinegar count? That seems like a great combo pack.
I don't know. I believe shea butter is a pretty good mixture to use.
I ain't buying no shea butter. If I break out, I break out. All whatever. Right. It is what it is. All right. We got one segment to go. We'll wrap up our thoughts from Big 12 Media Days. Of course, Ketch will have that. And Chad and Kevin from 3 to 7 will take care, give you some more from Frisco, Texas. And we'll talk a little bit of Mono Ginobili on the other side, and we'll have some fun to wrap up the show. It is Midday with Trey and BK. You're listening to The Horn. Now that
I've tried. Final segment of Midday with Trey and BK. This is a really good song, but it also has a somewhat of a cheesy element as well. What is this artist?
This is Extreme More Than Words.
Extreme More Than Words, which you can hear on Tuesdays now on this radio station and this show specifically, because we're promoting music that can also be heard on 105.3 The Bat, our sister station a few rooms down. So do make sure to check that out when you're not listening to one of the live shows here at The Horn. And Specs text line is 337-3776. A lot of people participating in the suggestions for what you need to do to avoid the sunburn not only becoming worse, but also minimizing just how much damage it does to you when it all starts peeling off. And by the way, I just took a video and tweeted it out of said sunburn. Dude, that looks worse today than it did yesterday. It's more purple today than it was yesterday.
It doesn't look good, and that's a shame because I spent a lot of yesterday putting a bunch of product and spending money and time going to the grocery store, which I hate doing, to buy stuff that was hopefully going to get rid of this. But I figured it's just a matter of time. I mean, look, it burns, it itches a little bit, and some of the products might help with that. The burning and itching is fine. I just don't want to look like half tomato, half grape, and half human. Like man, bear, pig out there.
Number 13 says, rub ice on the sunburn, draws out the heat, prevents blistering. Alternate ice with real aloe. Get an aloe plant and use the real stuff, not
no
the stuff
plant.
You buy in a bottle. A female listener says, not dating, so who's going to notice that his chest is broken out? Ha ha, just kidding, BK. Are you kidding, though? Cussing accountant says, can you put BK's sunburn on the app or Facebook? I don't have Twitter. You don't have to have Twitter. You can actually just search on Twitter for the Horns account, and you can see it from there.
And I think the app, doesn't the Twitter timeline show up on the app itself? I think it does. You have media up there.
Is it, or was it Instagram?
Me on that. I don't know.
It does.
There we go.
It does. According to Austin Villanueva, it does. Legacy
four,
of Kane says, get that ponytail take to Connor Williams, BK. Connor Williams doesn't have a ponytail, does he? He does the man bun, right?
I don't like
Which
that either.
Is not any better.
Yeah.
I will agree with
that. Sorry. I mean, I'm sure some of those dudes could kick my ass if they have a ponytail. I'm sure dudes without it can kick my ass also, but I just think it's a pretty terrible look.
Fishmonger Mikey says, hey, Trey, I used to manage nightclubs in Scottsdale, Arizona before working at Whole Foods, and I would see the women's bathroom by far worse than the men's. Thank you very much, Mikey, for that one. And somebody else says, you know what? My text line just reset on me. So we're done with the text line for the day. Thank you very much for chiming in, Peaks.
Always. 337-3776 any day of the week. Thanks to Stu Myrick up in Dallas for getting us a couple of great interviews with Bruce Feldman and with Brady Quinn of Fox Sports.
You're the man, Stu.
Safe travels back home, but we're out of time today. For my man, the Greek Freak, the production wizard across the glass, Zach Christo. For my man, the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table. And for intern four, Austin, I'll give him some love too. I am BK. We'll be back to get it popping same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.